You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
I'm Nick Westergaard, and this is On Brand, helping you tell your story. My guest this week is Margaret Rogers.
And this is the moment, to me, that people will remember for a much longer time. Just as you said, COVID in itself is very memorable already. But the brands and how they react and how they help to create a mutually beneficial relationship is something that people will remember for the long term.
Margaret is a vice president and customer experience strategist at consulting firm Pariveda Solutions. She has over 20 years of experience in digital consulting services and a passion for coaching organizations through their digital transformation. Margaret appreciates the natural tension between business wants and customer needs. Using business, technical, and user-centered design methods, Margaret creates forward-thinking solutions to evolve and stretch current digital capabilities. Her experience spans across industries, including nonprofit, retail, media, telecom, automotive, gaming, and manufacturing. Margaret, welcome to On Brand.
Thank you so much for having me, Nick. It's a pleasure.
I am excited to chat with you. When you had reached out, what really piqued my interest as we find ourselves, the new turn of the phrase that I'm using for this period of time that we're in, this is easily going to go down as one of the strangest years in any business, in any profession, in any line of work. And what got my attention was you've been talking a lot about some of the challenges that brands have in building trust during a crisis like COVID-19, because there's a lot of consumer skepticism about what brands are thinking and doing, especially at this very strange time. So what's the landscape for what consumers are thinking in response to what brands are doing these days?
Yeah, I think consumers right now, especially with all this fear and uncertainty and volatility that's occurring right now, I mean, they're really thinking about survival at some level. And so brands, when they have brands that come to them and seek more their own survival, it becomes a very distrustful kind of relationship. It actually creates a shadow over that. And so, you know, with folks that are just trying to navigate the unknown, it's very uncomfortable. And it creates that level of fear inside, which makes people respond probably a little less rationally. What I find interesting in what's going on with brands today, especially in the early stages of COVID, I don't know how many emails you got, but I know from a lot of brands that I frequently shop with, they would often send me these very rational emails that were, hey, we're going to clean stores, we're here for you, and we're going to take care of things. And, you know, what they fail to forget that right now it's very emotional and people aren't wanting to hear that. They're trying to figure out how to get food on the table if they don't have jobs. They're trying to figure out, well, is your brand the thing that I need right now? And missing that connection and that deep ability to say, it's okay, we'll still be here. They are really missing an opportunity to build a better relationship and frankly, a meaningful relationship during a time that's really difficult.
Well, that is really difficult because like you said, it creates this shadow, but there's a disconnect because it seems at a certain level that you've got both parties looking out for survival. You've got consumers looking to survive, grappling with everything that you said, but on a surface level, I want to be careful how I phrase this. You have business survival, which is we have to be open. We have to do the normal stuff. And that is kind of that surface level business survival. And it seems like if you operate at that level, that's where you run into that trouble that you note. Because even though you're giving the sanitation messages about surfaces and all of that, it's not going to ring true. That there's more to the psychological safety that modern customers are after. So how can businesses, how can brands unlock that next level of appealing to consumer safety?
There are a couple of things that I think brands have an opportunity to really lean into. One is, you know, as I mentioned, the uncertainty. When people go into the fear, and I'm sure you've heard of the lizard brain, right? You are in this fight or flight mode. One of the natural behaviors, just human behaviors, that people seek greater control over their environment. They want a way for them to know that there is a way for me to take care of things at a very low risk and that I have control and I have choice. And so some of the ways in lieu of being able to reinvent what you are providing to the customer from an organization, from a brand perspective, it's about enabling people the peace of mind. So some of the retail companies actually did some really nice extensions of more generous cancellation policies. Some of them didn't quite go as far as free shipping returns, but that was something that I thought, again, was probably a small price to pay for the longer term relationship. Building that goodwill for something that makes it easier for me to shop with you and then also return it if I have to, would build a lot of goodwill. The second thing that I think brands have an opportunity to think about is right now, as you can imagine, with everybody being so connected and the tension that you feel with being connected of what's happening with COVID, and the tension that the other side of that sword, which is, oh my gosh, that's too much information. Consumers are currently being inundated with all sorts of information, and frankly, they don't know who to believe or what to believe. And so the crispness of the message and the simplicity of the message is actually very important. So if you take it back, the cancellation example, there was actually a brand that sent me this huge thing that said, hey, we're going to extend our cancellation policy or our returns policy and exchanges policy, and here's like the 50 things you need to read. And I thought, wow, that's pretty stressful. I'm already you're giving me something 50 things to read. Why can't you just tell me, here are the three key things that you need to know, and we're here for you right now. Bundle it with the here for you and connectivity of the emotional side. I think those are some of those incremental things that actually will have long payoffs.
Well, in some of these, I feel like a lot of what we've talked about here, that the first instinct is almost off a little bit, because I think that in times of crisis, you know, our first thought might be, okay, they need all 50 things. I've got to get them all of the info. That way we've got something for them for every single combination, every variable out there. And the next thought is exactly what you said of, oh, wait, this is an incredibly stressful time. Asking them to do all of that is a heavy lift. How can we empathize first? So it does seem like we're well intentioned a lot of times, but there's a lot of easy ways to stumble in all of this and send one of those emails. I had to laugh when you said that, because I feel like in early COVID, there was this week where nobody really knew what to do and nothing really happened. And then there was about a week after that where everybody realized an email has to go out. And all of these identical emails came out talking about an abundance of care and caution. And you could almost cover up the logo and it'd be hard to tell, you know, what was a clothing brand or a nonprofit or a tech company. It all ran together. You mentioned on the message point in there too, on clarity of message. You've talked a lot about some of the different strategies. What are the tone implications of everything going around, and how consumers want to be talked to today, right now?
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting question, because I think it really is brand dependent and service dependent on meeting the consumers on where they are, depending on what the need is. So, you know, I can imagine that grocery store chain's message and tone might be different from a movie theater, like a movie theater brand. And so, you know, I think that there is a sincerity and genuineness that does need to come across, that we do care. And frankly, that caring can also come through and resonate in such a situation that talks to how they're taking care of their own people and how are they allowing their employees to navigate the same kind of care. And the vulnerability of the organization itself can be really meaningful to consumers. I think that's something that sometimes brands forget, is that their brand is really truly that personification of their whole organization and their values, their culture all bundled in. And people want to relate to someone. They don't want to relate to something. And so in the desire to be more transparent and clear, it's really important that they have that genuine tone behind that, so that people find meaning and can connect to the organization more as a personality rather than an object.
Hey, On Brand listeners. We talk about a lot of brand building topics here on the show, from developing strong brands to brand stories to building engaged superfans for your brand, both internally and externally. If these are topics that you're working through or struggling with, I'd love to help. I regularly schedule one-time or ongoing brand coaching sessions with clients based on their unique needs. Are you building a new brand? I'd love to help. Struggling with rebranding? I'd love to help. Do you want to create an engaged community around your brand? I'd love to... You get the idea. I've worked with clients of all shapes and sizes, from Fortune 500 companies to small businesses and startups. I've also interviewed hundreds of experts right here on the On Brand podcast and written 2 books. I can apply all of this to the challenges that you're struggling with. To learn more about working personally with me, Nick Westergaard, go to nickwestergaard.com, that's Westergaard with 2 A's, or email me at nick@branddrivendigital.com. Now back to the show.
So that's fascinating, this idea of vulnerability and the ability to better connect, because I think sometimes... And, you know, I feel like we talk a lot about brands and the need for authenticity, transparency, so much so that I think that they've become sort of abstract concepts. But this idea of brand vulnerability, I think, especially right now, that, you know, it's obviously aligned with what you just noted about authenticity and transparency, but I think the vulnerability, it feels scary, just like it does for an individual, but the reward in that relatability, I think that's a huge connection point. It makes me think this week we've been trying to do takeout once a week to help our local businesses, and because of where we're at right now with numbers continuing to go back up with all of the reopenings, we wanted to consciously support a business who made the decision to not open their dining room and was only doing takeout. And I made a point when we picked it up of mentioning that to the masked employee who brought us out our pizzas. And it was a very kind of meaningful human interaction with this pizza brand here in my community, but it was rooted in invulnerability of, yeah, we know it's hard for us to not be open now, but it's what we need to do. And I think it's scary, and it's hard to tell brands to sign up to do something that is even more scary right now. But it's strange to say that there's a reward in that, but I feel like, you know, when you talk about resiliency, I think that there's a real path to resiliency in there as well.
I totally agree with that. I do think it's interesting that, you know, organizations don't lean into that vulnerability more because it humanizes them in a way that says, oh, now I understand why you say we're in this together, right? Up until that point, it doesn't feel like we're in it together. And you can draw pretty strong parallels. There were quite a number of brands during this Black Lives Matter who would put out these social media like tweets and see these. It was very common to see some black background of something with Black Lives Matter. And then that would be it. And you're thinking, I don't even know what that means. I think that just means you're educated to know that it exists, right?
Right. Yeah.
It was such a low bar, afraid to take a position, afraid to make a statement. It did not feel genuine. And I think brands lost some clout as they looked at it with question. And the same thing happened with COVID. So, you know, that personality, the values, the culture, being able to resonate that through your messaging, that personality, I think, is so critical in this time. It's easy when things are flush. It's much harder, but so meaningful to consumers. And this is the moment to me that people will remember for a much longer time. Just as you said, COVID in itself is very memorable already, but the brands and how they react and how they help to create a mutually beneficial relationship is something that people will remember for the long term.
I think that's a moment. It's an inflection point. They will remember what you do here. Just like when I said this being one of the strange years, I mean, that's a quick passing assessment. But I think your point is even more important because what you do here. And I think we've looked at these two very big issues that many are grappling with around the Black Lives Matter movement, around COVID, as these two things that have happened. But I think that your take there on both being, I was in our conversation because that's how we'd initially connected, had everything in kind of that COVID response mindset. But I think you raise a really good point because both of these challenges involve a need for humanity that many, I don't know, were ready for prior to all of this. And it's catching, I think, many brands off guard. It's hard to, there's not a switch on the wall that says, humanize the brand now, that we can go over there and throw. It's hard work. And I don't know that businesses traditionally are made to respond this way, but I think they're finding themselves having to.
I think that's really true. I know one of the things that I think that organizations sometimes undervalue is the impact of their own people on their brand. And, you know, I'm not talking about just the front-facing folks, but the folks that have to lean in internally to rapidly respond to the things that we're facing within our environment today. And when you think about really having a brand that is flexible and can adapt and stay relevant over time, you really need both the consumer, your external folks, your partners, but you really also need your internal people. And this is where I think that whole connection can occur within a brand to enable people to pivot and think of new ideas and think of ways to have those conversations both internally and externally, because that's the thing that will raise up brands and organizations to be able to make significant progress and respond to such a, I mean, this one's significantly vast, but if you think about it, even pre-COVID time, you companies that were really lagging behind, often it was, you could often connect a cultural issue as well with that.
Yeah, it's interesting when you line it up like that. You talked about the external side of things, which we've talked about a majority of our time, but you also talked about the internal just now and what that transformation looks like. And I joked that there's not a humanize the brand now red easy button on the wall. But how do you start that? I think, you know, when you talked about leaning into brand vulnerability, for folks listening out there thinking, oh my gosh, this is so true. That is a problem we have. And what can I do to start that work? Where do you start with leaning into brand vulnerability?
Yeah, that's a wonderful question. So, you know, one of the things that we really highlight is starting from the center of your purpose of your organization and connecting that with the brand internally. Folks sometimes in these types of reactionary modes forget what is our mission, what is our purpose, and what are our values. And it's a wonderful time to reground or reevaluate and think about what that really means. And within our organization, we use a tool called purpose-centered design that is really geared towards specifically that. How do you bring the organization along, reconnect with the purpose, and use that to drive new processes and courage inside the organization? And it's a great framework used by my colleague, Samantha Steer, and it is very impactful for organizations to make change and connectivity in that way. That is truly an initial step.
I think that's amazing that for that tough question that I lobbed at you, that there is something that you can actually start with. Because I think that there's also, because of everything that you've just noted, there can be a feeling of helplessness. You get back to the lizard brain stuff that we started the show with and the ability to control the environment. We talked about it on the consumer side, but I think that brand builders out there listening are struggling with that too, of I don't know where to start on this, on how to do this and help our brand come to life in a vulnerable human way. But I think something that is grounded in purpose, to invoke the name of this very podcast, is a very on-brand way of tackling this challenge.
For sure. And I will say that, everybody, you know, if there's anybody out there who says, I don't have uncertainty, I'm a little unsure, or I'm a lot unsure, you know, I have a lot of doubts, that unless they have a crystal ball, I mean, they probably should be playing the lottery if that's really the case. But I think that organizations now can enable people. And just like with any nurturing new consumers, you need a really big entry funnel in order to get somebody all the way down that pipe. The same thing happens with ideas and ways to be able to adapt. And organizations, through that purpose and connection, can really enable people to take the risks, to try, fail fast, and go on to the next thing. This is the behavior of the future of organizations that can stay relevant. And without that, without reconnecting with that and thinking about that personification of the brand more tightly, then you can't be consistent in your messaging. You can't be genuine. You're going to try to be everything to everyone. And in that way, you lose any sort of credibility that you have with your consumers. And so the focus and concentration, there's discipline that it takes to be true to who you are, despite the other pressures that might be coming through. Again, I truly believe that people always seek that kind of relationship. They don't go to the one that's transactional. You know, that's why people go to something else. They'll go to the cheapest thing if it's transactional. You don't want them to go to the cheapest thing. You want them to come to you because you're the best and you offer something so much more than just the product. You offer something that they can relate to, that they can socialize with, and that they can feel good about interacting with. And that's still an opportunity today, despite the fact that the world feels a little scarce and a little tighter and scary. There is abundance within this, and the brands have to go seek it.
I think that that's a great positive note to wrap up our conversation on in thinking about this, that despite that there are opportunities and huge impact you can have on the relationship with your consumers. Margaret, as we start to wrap up here, seems very on topic given what we were just saying, what is a brand that has made you smile recently?
I was thinking about that as you were asking that before, and the one that came to top of mind for me is there's a women's clothing store called Athleta. It is owned by Gap now, but I was a big fan of it prior to that as well, where their whole world is about promoting strong women and women who juggle non-traditional lives. Their catalog actually has real people. They are not models. And they're often, you know, not only athletic, physically strong, but mentally strong. And they have interesting careers. They're professors, and then they're surfboard makers and things like that. But I love the consistency of message of redefining our inner strength and outer strength. And I love how they even now have gone into a girls' clothing line, but also keeping that consistent message so that we can redefine beauty and strength as it relates to women for a more modern age. So I love that about them, and they're very consistent in their brand as well.
That is a great example and a great story of a brand with a compelling story that they're bringing to life too. Margaret, where can folks go to learn more about who you are and what you do?
Well, people can come and visit ParivedaSolutions.com. I'm on LinkedIn for sure. And if you look at Margaret Rogers LinkedIn, you'll definitely find me. And we're also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Awesome. Well, we will link up to all of that in our show notes. Margaret, thanks for being on brand with us.
It was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And if you've liked what you're hearing, if we've made you smile, remember to subscribe to the show via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen. And please take a moment and rate and review the podcast to help others find the show. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.